Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, August 9th, 2013, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals, your gold and silver bullion dealer. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 800-649-6722. Our email address is mail@centralmetalscorp.com. If you have any email questions, you can direct those to that email, and we'll address the question on air. Just to start off with a couple of quotes here. We're a little bit late today, but bear with me a second, and we'll get started here. In the meantime, I'd like to welcome, I can hear that Jeff is in the background there. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Bosco. Trusting you're all right, and everything's, we've got lots to bounce around today, I think.
Yeah, I was just catching up on some things here. I got tied up on the phone and I couldn't sign in right away. But here we go. Gold is down $1.34 at $13.1161. Silver is at $20.50. It's up about 30 cents. We have the S&P down 8.55 at 1688.93. The Dow is down 123 at 15,375. And crude oil is still holding strong over 100. It's $105.41. It's up $2 today. So, folks, there's your quotes. Right off the bat, Jeff, what do we have on tap here to discuss with our listeners? I hear there's an echo in the background. I don't know if you have some other internet connection going on, or I don't know if the my website is up possibly, but I don't know if you could check that. But anyways, what do you have on your list there?
Well, I think one of the things that I want to chat a little about today is the interdependence and the codependence of various countries on each other, and how sometimes economists take great glee in telling you things about an economy as if the economy is independent, when in fact there is no such thing as an independent economy in the G12, if you will, or even probably in many of the economies in the world, and also how it relates to gold, and also how it relates to the modality by which everybody runs their country. Mm-hmm. We used to have a saying in Canada, Bosco, that when the United States sneezed, Canada would catch a cold or the flu. And this was simple adage, which is not too far from the truth. The American economy is very important to Canada. And what has transpired over the last little bit is we've seen the American fiscal nonsense, the way they're printing money, create an environment where it cannot help but bring the empire down, if you will. And so we have a place where I think we chatted last week, did we not, about them deciding to throw Detroit under the bus?
Yep.
And how this relates to what may very well be coming, and that is the economists, and certainly the Federal Reserve System and the guys who run it, the Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, and the new guy who will be coming in here soon, they have been tasked with managing an economy that they have not had the faintest or slightest effect on for decades and decades and decades. And so consequently, they are now coming into, and we'll backtrack a bit, they thought that if they printed enough money, they could prevent the economy from going into the tank. I think we all know, ladies and gentlemen, that just didn't happen. The economy is still sliding into the tank. We also talked last week about how they lie about their economic numbers, management of perspective economics, and how that lends itself to a bit ridiculous assumptions and the like. So now I want to chat a little about how lies are now starting to become a little, one, I mean, they've always lied, Bosco, we think, but now I think what may be happening is we have lies being exposed, right? So the IRS was targeting political opponents. We found this out recently. The IRS was tracking people's activities in Facebook, eBay, asking Apple to do various things. They were reading emails without warrants. Apparently the Justice Department is spying on reporters. Apparently also the U.S. Attorney General lied to Congress. The military admitted that the war on terror is permanent. Get a load of that, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to tax you so they can keep this permanent war on terror going. Now the U.S. Federal Reserve is starting to lose it to the point where 12 U.S. states are pushing through their state legislature gold as legal tender. We did talk about this some time ago, Bosco, that some of these states may very well say, we want gold as legal tender in order to facilitate transactions. Oh, that's what money's all about, isn't it? We've also got various spying activities happening. We've got the NSA deputy director testifying that all of the spying they've been doing on us, Bosco, the listening to all of our telephone conversations, at most, one plot might have been disrupted by a bulk phone records collection. They kept saying, we only credit this, not that. But then it came up that they collect word for word all electronic communications. Ladies and gentlemen, this makes me blanch. The other thing that presents itself, Bosco, is I think in terms of cycles, I want to chat a little about the law of cycles. The law of cycles goes like this, ladies and gentlemen. Whether it is your breathing, whether it is your heartbeat, whether it is the seasons of the year, whether it's the sunrise and sunset, whether it's the moon revolving around the earth every 28 days, there is a law of cycles. One of the things that happens with these politicians is they seem to think that they can defy the law of cycles. Kind of like saying, Bosco, and in fact, there was a fairy tale some time ago where the king, the daughter wanted a moon, and so the king, sure enough, because he loved his daughter, he gave his daughter the moon. Really, what he did is he had one of his employees pretend to build the moon and give it to the daughter, and then the king tried to keep the moon from sight over the castle because he assumed the daughter, having got the moon, would assume that the moon had disappeared out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
The politicians trying to control an economy and trying to defy the law of cycles is much like trying to take the moon out of the sky and hand it to your daughter. It's impossible. The law of cycles just happens. So now some of these cycles, Bosco, are daily, hourly, nanoseconds wide. Some of these cycles are decades long, and some of these cycles take centuries. We have a cyclic correlation between war and political change, and economic collapse, okay? And we talk a little about how empires collapse historically, and we talk about how and why they do, right? And it isn't from political unrest. The political unrest comes after the fact that governments collapse their economies because they are extracted. Remember we talked about inclusive governments, Bosco, where everybody said, do your best, we will collaborate to do really well, and extractive, and that was steal all you can, guys, because the ship is sinking, and we need to take as much out of this economy and hand our cronies as much of the wealth that we can before we blow it up. This has happened many, many, many times over the centuries. It's happened in Rome, it's happened in France, it's happened in Germany, it's happened in South America. I think we're going there. And not once, Bosco, not once, has gold come out compromised?
Right.
A little food for thought there, Bosco. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. For those of you out there that are interested in history, I think you'll see, like Jeff says, a common pattern or a cycle throughout history. You know, empires come and go. You know, economies go up and down. But through it all, gold seems to endure and maintain its level of real value, meaning, you know, that you'll be able to still trade it for goods and services and so on. And I think, you know, Jeff, I was just reading an article today. We have, you know, China is probably has one of the longest histories out of any country. They are, it says China is preparing for a new gold standard. And we had a question from one of our listeners earlier, which I find rather interesting. We know that basically his question is regarding China's attempt to institute a gold standard and their currency and pegging their currency to gold. Like, we know that the Chinese currency is now pegged to the U.S. dollar rather tightly, and we know that China is importing a lot of gold and they're not exporting any. What is basically his question is what would happen if China were to peg their gold or peg their currency to both the U.S. dollar and gold? I don't know if that's possible, but would that force, I imagine that would have some implications on the U.S. dollar as a reserve that would force them to be on a gold standard. I'm not sure how that would work, but I don't know if you have any insight into that, Jeff.
Well, it is a very good question and a very insightful question, and it has to do with the capacity of the currency, of the piece of paper, to backstop its currency with a real commodity. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have, in fact, the implication of China backing its currency by gold because they have the gold to back it. They mm-hmm. couldn't co-back it with an American currency because the Americans don't have the capacity to pitch up with the physical commodity. And certainly what we've seen over the last little while is a mass exodus of the physical gold from North America into China. So the Chinese may make the attempt to backstop their own currency by gold,
mm-hmm.
but they wouldn't have the political capacity to force the Americans to backstop them with gold. It just wouldn't happen. Now, that being said, I want to revisit one of the programs we had some time ago when we talked about the book Currency Wars.
Yep.
One of the things that they did, and I'll remind some of the listeners, one of the things they did historically is that the really smart guys would get together from various countries and they'd play games, and they'd play war games. So the Currency War book was about a war game they played with no bombs or bullets or things that physically killed people. It would be economic war. And one of the things that the author did, he was one of the participants in this war games. And one of the things they found would be an incredibly effective way to declare war would be to backstop a currency with gold.
Mm-hmm.
And what was very interesting, and the conclusion came in this book, if the Chinese ever did decide to backstop their currency with gold, it would destroy the U.S. currency. The U.S. currency would just go into a slide, right? Now, that being said, if the U.S. currency goes into a slide, you're going to see some pretty interesting reactions, and that's where we come back to an aspect of how would the Americans respond if the Chinese actually did backstop their currency. And in the throes of all of this, this could be, Bosco, might be, potentially a declaration of war.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about them apples?
Well, it's pretty scary. I mean, the when we go down that path, I when I discuss these issues sometimes with my clients, I don't think that any major war. I mean, we have wars now in the Middle East and so on. Which are terrible, but once you start involving these major powers like China and Russia and Germany and so on, if the U.S. were to get into a war with, then we're talking about pretty much it wouldn't be a war like what's going on in the Middle East. It would be a thermonuclear war . When we go down that path, that's pretty much, wipes out the entire planet. I like to think that that's not an option, but you never know what these people have in mind. But it's an interesting, you know, interesting concept to think about, like economically and financially speaking. Let's say if China were to back their currency with gold and maintain their peg to the U.S. dollar and give, I don't know, what could they do? They could give the central bankers an option. Do you want to buy Chinese treasuries or bonds in backed by gold or backed by the U.S. dollar? Give people a choice, you know, and then this would, I don't know what it would do. It would give China the advantage around the world to force the U.S. to, I guess it would force them to get the economy in order. I don't know, but it's an interesting question that this guy sent in.
Well, I think
maybe we should send that. Maybe we should send this to James Rickards and see what he thinks and apply that into his war game scenario.
Well, I think there's a couple of interesting economic ramifications of that, but just a quick note, and it's a bit tangential, but it's relevant to the conversation, and that is the Japanese just declared that their total debt, Bosco, has passed a quadrillion yen. Their debt number is quadrillion yen. Isn't that amazing? So now let's chat a little about that, and let's chat about currency wars, and let's chat about the intention behind the war games in currency is to figure out how they could take down an economy. And the intent behind the Chinese backing their currency with gold, is to destroy the American economy. Because the American economy, the dollar, becomes so valueless that everything to Americans goes through the roof in terms of their capacity to pay for it. So this would be, and in the book, and certainly I would think and suggest, the Chinese have more of a vested interest, I believe, in the European economy than they do in the American economy, because I think what's happened with the Chinese, the powers that be there, they said, you are giving us valueless dollars to pay back the debt that the money that we've lent you, and you are violating us via currency. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese have suggested they were trying to piggyback on the U.S. dollar for this period of time. However, if they are successful in backing the yuan or the renminbi with gold, the U.S. dollar then becomes trivialized on the global scheme of things. And this would give the Americans, and then the Americans would pull in whoever they could, but this would give the Americans great grounds for starting to do really nasty things. Now, the other thing that happened in terms of my rant at the front end of the show, Bosco, was about the war on terror will never end. So what, in fact, we have is we have a very abstruse or obscure war going on that will never end and has nobody really as defined in a nasty way of who we're fighting, right? Which is really, it's a license to print money for the warmongers and those individuals who make guns and bombs and bullets. Now, there was a war some time ago, and it was called the Second World War, where there was definitively a bad guy and definitively bad stuff he was doing, where people had to rise to the occasion to defeat him, good old Adolf Hitler. And one of the things that has happened and transpired in the time since then is the enemy now has become incredibly difficult to define. And consequently, guess what happens when they're difficult to define, Bosco? Everybody gets incarcerated in some fashion. They start to steal away your liberties. Your civil liberties are now starting to become compromised. And this is
well, it's
we,
an
we
endless,
about,
endless war.
Becomes, things,
yeah, when you,
the 10 things that close an economy, right? The 10 steps that that close an economy.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I think, like, you know, I agree, you know, there's some, which cycle or how to define the cycles, but I think we're in a major paradigm shift. I don't know how long this lasts, but I mean, it's obvious that, you know, there's a lot of things happening around the world that obviously have never happened before based on technology and you know, where we stand in the monetary realm, because, you know, this is the first time in history that we've had a global reserve currency, that one country holds the global reserve currency that's recognized around the world and not backed by any commodity or backed by gold in any manner. So it's the first time we've had a fiat global reserve currency, I guess. And because, I mean, we've had global reserve currencies before. It was the British pound. And then before that, I believe it was the, I think Spain had a, I had a chart actually. I wish I saw. I saw that the, it went back to like 300 or 400 years of all the countries that held the global reserve currencies. Here they are. I guess, yeah, before it was the U.S., it was Britain, and then France during the, I guess, the 18th century. And then during the 17th century was Netherlands. During the 16th century was Spain, and the 15th century was Portugal.
There you go.
So these are the countries that had, you know, a reserve currency status, but I believe in majority of those cases that they were backed by gold in some fashion. I think the unique thing about now is that the U.S. dollar is really, it's a purely a fiat currency. It's not backed by any commodity, unless you want to call oil the commodity. But the thing with oil is that it can be consumed, and the oil backing the petrodollar, the so-called petrodollar, is, it's really based on a relationship between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. And if that relationship, you know, fails or changes, you know, it could change the scheme of things. And I think that's one of the things that is in that book by James Rickard. Is I think he, I believe he mentions that relationship.
Absolutely. So let's dial back to the initial conversation and the law of cycles and the law of currency cycles and the law of empires collapsing and the law of cycles. And I want to chat a little about how, and we had inclusive and extractive regimes. So when a regime would come into Egypt, when a regime would come into Syria, when a regime would come into any country in the world, if they were inclusive, the economy and the society would flourish. And if they were extractive, they would take and take and take and take and take until they destroyed the economy. And I think what has happened, Bosco, and we've talked about this from time to time, what has transpired over the last 30 or 40 years, literally since they've come off the gold standard, is there has been a very deliberate grab going on by the powers that be. Here's an interesting little thing that should make you blanch, and that would be, did you know, Bosco, that the richest 200 people in the world, get a load of this, the richest 200 people in the world have $2.7 trillion in assets. That's more than the assets of the poorest 3.5 billion people, whose assets total $2.2 trillion.
Wow.
Now, that is a bit mind-boggling in terms of that. Now what I want to do is I want to get back to how and what transpires as empires collapse. Empires collapse when they become extractive, when greed runs amok. And the only thing that maintains its value and worth is they will throw everybody under the bus, which they did with Detroit. They will throw everybody under the bus now in order to facilitate themselves being in power, staying in power, political power, or the military being in power, which is what we're seeing in Egypt. And we've also seen the Americans pull everybody out of a whole bunch of their embassies all over the world because, yeah, things are getting a little hairy, they're saying. There's going to be Al-Qaeda nonsense going on.
Mm-hmm.
So here's where greed goes, ladies and gentlemen. In terms of the demise of an empire, greed goes when they've extracted as much as they can out of the society, and then the society rises up and blows up, okay? Now, I also want to talk about 10 steps that close an open society. This is the powers that be doing things to manipulate and control the population by fear. And fear is generally how governments control things, and certainly fear is how governments have controlled things historically. These are some of the steps that Hitler used, and certainly it shouldn't be lost on us that we are having them used on us right now. So one of the first steps is called invoking an internal and external threat. Hitler and the Nazi Party suggested that the Jews and the non-Aryans were threats. What are we doing now, Bosco? We're imposing the internal and external threats. It's all Al-Qaeda now. Abstruse, impossible to nail down, but it's a threat, okay? Establish secret prisons for torture. This is where Hitler would, if you say anything about the U.S. government, or the German government at the time, they'd whisk you away in the middle of the night. Oh, is that happening in the States, Bosco? Sure it is. One kid was brought and he disappeared into detention prison for a week. They forgot all about him. He was no food or water for a week. Now, granted, somebody actually did come back and get him, and they paid him off to the tune of $2 or $3 million. However, this gets a little disconcerting, okay? Step number three, Hitler just established the SS and the Gestapo as his secret service. Oh, what did the U.S. establish, Bosco? Homeland Security. Homeland Security now has more than 1 billion rounds of ammunition. Homeland Security is arming itself potentially against their own citizens. How ridiculous is this? Surveil ordinary citizens. This is what Hitler did. Oh, what are we having done in the U.S. now, Bosco? The NSA and the CIA and the FBI, they're all saying, yes, we listen to every single thing there is, and then we just punch it to our supercomputers to make sure you are safe. Hello? Working under the ruse that they surveil everything to keep you safe, what they're doing is they're keeping the government safe. Unbelievable. Infiltrate citizens. We're getting some pretty nasty things coming down. Okay, Bosco, enough of this rant for a moment, but I'll let you pitch up here for a minute.
Yeah, no, I mean, folks, we are going through some fundamental changes, and the whole purpose of some of the discussions we have on this program is to just wake you up or get you to think in different terms or different perspective and realize part of why we're here is to introduce gold and silver bullion as a safe mechanism, as an investment, an asset class included in your portfolio and so on. But it all ends up trying to maintain our standard of living, which not only relates to financial matters, it relates to freedoms and liberties as well, and our democracy and capitalism. And this is where we get the connection in the politics and so on, what's happening in the political realm and why it affects us. Because, you know, ultimately, you know, when we have these shifts or changes in the economy, we've seen through history what happens when we have oppression and political leaders like the Hitler type or Genghis Khan or Napoleon or whatever the case may be, people that want to control everything. Ultimately, the citizenry ends up losing their liberties and freedoms and wealth and so on. So what we're trying to do here is to see if we can, you know, help. Hopefully, you know, people take some of the information that's presented here and like you say, food for thought. We leave it up to the internet is full with information that people can do their own research. We don't expect anyone to, take what we say as the end of the road, that there's a lot of other follow-ups and other information that you can confirm what we discussed here and so on. But, you know, we just hope to get people to think in an alternative manner, and hopefully we can help you preserve your wealth by providing you with gold and silver. And if you have any questions regarding that, you can give us a call here at Central Metals at 800-649-6722. And our email is mail@centralmetalscorp.com. We also have Secure Vault services available outside the banking system. And we also recently integrated a platform where you can send us foreign currencies if you wish, and we can handle your gold and silver purchases in euros, in Japanese yen, in U.S. and Canadian dollars, of course, Singapore dollars, whatever currency it is, British pounds. We could handle the currency exchange for you, and we found that our rates are very competitive with the banks, so you know, that might be something you want to think about. But ultimately, gold and silver are currencies themselves, and you want to have your wealth in a currency that has a track record of proven wealth protection, that's outlasted, you know, all these wars and economic upheavals in the past. So, you know, hopefully we'll be ahead of the curve and be able to help our clients here, you know, maintain their wealth. And, you know, in the future, I think when the bad guys fall, I guess that the good guys will take over and make things better for everyone. But we're getting close to the end of the program here. So, Jeff, we don't have any other questions right now. The only other thing that I wanted to mention is that people, you know, we've seen what's happening with Detroit. The bankruptcy over there is they're pretty much, as far as it stands now, they're going to throw Detroit under the bus, and it looks like that Chicago is on deck. Also on Bloomberg this week, they had the an article titled "New York City's Good Times May Sour Like Detroit," Bloomberg warns. So it looks like New York is even having some problems. And, you know, the thing that happened that I think triggered a lot of these pension failures and so on is that in 2005, there was a law passed in the United States that derivatives come before the pension guarantees, that the financial institutions that sold derivatives to pension come before the creditors of the pension. So they're basically saying that the stability of the financial institutions that sold them these derivative contracts have priority before the actual pensioners, which is a pretty scary thought.
This is the case where the financial institutions are saving their own bacon, and again, tossing the employees and all their pension funds under the bus. And again, it's just a part of the egregious skewing of the financial system to protect the banks. And in all fairness, it probably is a subversion of the rule of law, which makes me more upset at the manner in which they're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're pretty bold nowadays. I mean, sometimes you read some of these articles and they come right out and tell you that, yeah, we're stealing from you and you can't do nothing about it, you know. And essentially that's the bail-in, the whole bail-in process or the bail-in theory is all about that. They're coming out and telling you that if you have, you know, apparently it's $100,000 is the limit. If you have $100,000 or more in an account, whether it's, I guess, a bank deposit account or a brokerage account, that it could be susceptible to the bail-in process, which, you know, is pretty scary. And You know, folks, this isn't just theory. These are practical issues that are actually happening. We've seen Cyprus and Greece, and these things are happening in the system. And I think that, you know, this is just a prelude to what's coming in the pipeline for even our economy in North America. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, next year, the year after that, but you know, when these things start growing, it just spreads like wildfire. So, Jeff, we got about five more minutes left. If you want to mention anything, and we'll call it a day.
Well, I think we have said from time to time, ladies and gentlemen, that we cannot reiterate enough how important it is to be self-reliant, and we cannot reiterate enough how important it is to be aware that the powers that be, and certainly the banks and certainly the politicians, I don't know whether they have your best interests at heart. And I also would like to continue to reiterate that I don't believe, Bosco, that things are getting better. I think a crisis is coming, and I don't know what the crisis is going to look like. Another bank failure, another country failure, another city failure getting thrown under the bus, another act of military aggression. You know, in all fairness, I just don't know. But I do know this, Bosco. I think unequivocally, I think it's fair to say things are not getting better. And it is food for thought. And we want you to be independent in your decision-making. Just because we say that give you our opinions and our observations does not make it so. And I think that should be reflected in your research as well. Don't just think that you can go one-stop shopping, which is what the government and what the big banks want you to believe, is that you can trust them because they will tell you the goods. And in fact, that nothing could be further from the truth, in our opinion. However,
right.
Some food for thought, eh, Bosco?
Exactly, Jeff. So thank you very much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. And Jeff, thanks for being here with us and providing us with your insight. So we look forward to speaking with you again next week, and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Bosco. Thanks for allowing us to use service.
Goodbye.